Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Welcome to the Richard Serrett Show. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review and leave a comment. On this episode, investigative journalist Nick Bryant blows the lid off Jeffrey Epstein's shadowy network. The FBI denies a client list, but Bryant, armed with Epstein's black book, calls it a lie, uncovering ties to elite power brokers, political leverage, and possible intelligence operations. He questions the DOJ's motives. Are they protecting the powerful? With survivors silenced and evidence suppressed, Bryant digs into what's being hidden and why. That's the Richard Serrett Show, off and running for Tuesday, July the 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Facta, non verba.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
We must not allow ourselves to be intimidated. Our task is not only to win the battle, but to win the war.
I'm repeating, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting.
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
Seeking truth and justice in a battleground of deception and corruption, this is The Richard Serrett Show.
On July 7th, 2025, the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI released a memo stating that their review of Jeffrey Epstein's case found no evidence of an incriminating client list or blackmail scheme involving prominent individuals. The memo also reaffirmed that Epstein died by suicide in his Manhattan cell in August of 2019, supported, supposedly, by enhanced video footage showing no one entered his cell block during the time of his death. This, of course, contradicts earlier statements by Attorney General Pam Bondi, who in February claimed a client list was on her desk and under review. The DOJ concluded that no further prosecutions of third parties are warranted and no additional files will be released, citing the protection of over 1,000 victims' sensitive information and the presence of graphic material, including child pornography. The announcement sparked outrage among some conservatives and conspiracy theorists, including Elon Musk, who called it a cover-up and criticized the Trump administration's handling of the case. Critics include MAGA influencers, expressed disappointment, accusing the DOJ of backtracking and shielding powerful figures. The memo's release has fueled skepticism, with some alleging the FBI and DOJ are protecting elites, while others, like Bondi, faced scrutiny for earlier promises of transparency that fell short. Nick Bryant, the investigative journalist who helped expose Jeffrey Epstein's dark empire, is here to challenge the FBI's shocking claim that no client list exists. Nick is an investigative journalist and author whose work has fearlessly exposed systemic abuse and corruption among America's elite. He's a key figure in breaking the Jeffrey Epstein story. He's meticulously analyzed Epstein's infamous black book, uncovering connections between powerful institutions and individuals across politics, academics, and entertainment. His seminal book, The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse, and Betrayal, revealed chilling parallels to Epstein's network, while Confessions of a DC Madman exposed the seedy underbelly of political blackmail. He's published in outlets like Vanity Fair, Salon, and Playboy. Nick's investigations challenge the status quo. He's the founder of Epstein Justice and advocates for survivors. And through the Nick Bryant podcast, he continues to shine a light on society's darkest corners. Nick Bryant, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good to be with you, Richard.
The FBI claiming there's no Epstein client list. You've seen the Black Book. Why do you believe this client list exists? Explain why it must exist. And what's the motive then behind the FBI's denial?
The Epstein cover-up has been going on since the Bush 2 administration. And in 2005, the Palm Beach Police Department was going to indict Jeffrey Epstein on 5 counts of unlawful sexual activity with minors, or 4 counts, and then 1 count of lascivious molestation. So he was looking at a lifetime at that point. And then the state of Florida plucked that case. The Palm Beach Police Department was just going to arrest him, and then plucked that case and gave it to a very corrupt grand jury. And the grand jury concluded that there was no abuse of minors. And at that point, the Palm Beach Police Department knew of 23 underage victims. And the special prosecutor of that grand jury only called 2 victims. One had been molested when she was 14 and she was 16 then. And one had been molested since she was 16 and she was 18 at the time. And they just did a hatchet job on these poor girls. They were, the special prosecutor was actually calling one of them a prostitute, even though they were victims. And that grand jury ultimately decided that Jeffrey Epstein hadn't abused a single child, and ultimately indicted him on 1 count of adult solicitation. And Michael Ryder, he's the Palm Beach police chief, and he's a real hero in this. He took tremendous heat, and he wouldn't back down. And actually, that is the only institution that has not let the Epstein victims down, is the Palm Beach Police Department. And he made a lot of noise to the U.S. attorney in Southern Florida, who was Alexander Acosta. Mm-hmm. And Acosta was going to impanel a grand jury, but then he was told that Epstein was intelligence and it was above his pay grade. And he has never denied saying that. And in the government, the American government, only 2 people can tell a U.S. attorney to stand down. One is the attorney general and one is the president. Those are the only 2. And at that time in 2007, the attorney general was Alberto Gonzalez and the president was George Bush II. And there's no way Alberto Gonzalez is going to cover up a nationwide pedophile network unless he gets the okay from the president. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to leave himself in the wind like that. So that's when this really started. You had that very corrupt grand jury in Florida, and then you had the U.S. attorney not indicting Epstein on a single count of child abuse. And actually, what the U.S. attorney did was even pretty heinous. They made a non-prosecution agreement with Epstein, and then they sealed it. And according to the Victims' Crimes Rights Act, all of Epstein's victims should have been up to date on how the feds were adjudicating his case. And also, they should have had feedback on how the feds were adjudicating his case. But the feds didn't do any of that. They sealed that non-prosecution agreement. And attorneys representing some of the victims and the Palm Beach Police or the Palm Beach Post actually tried to unseal it, and the judge was going to unseal it, but then the feds actually said no. And then they fought, and then it all ultimately went up to the 11th Circuit, and it was unsealed. And that agreement was so perfidious. It said that no one, all it said, all of Epstein's co-conspirators are basically given immunity. They were given blanket immunity, all of them. And Epstein ultimately, and then they worked out a deal with the state so they could circumvent the Victims of Crimes Rights Act. They worked out a state, and Epstein did 13 months in a county jail. But here's the thing. By the time it made it to the feds, they had a list of 34 victims. I have that list, but they were aware of 40 victims,
yeah,
underage victims of Epstein. And they gave everyone blanket immunity, which is unbelievably egregious.
Weren't there 12-year-olds, allegedly twins or triplets, that were flown in from France?
Eastern Europe. Those parties? Eastern Europe. And actually, 11 and 12-year-olds, Virginia Giuffre, in her affidavit, said that there were orgies with girls that were as young as 12. An Australian newspaper has reported that the girls were as young as 11 and 12. And in my investigation, I've even found out evidence that's even more horrific. I've been researching and writing about child trafficking for 23 years. And I've spoken at a number of conferences, big ones, small ones. And I've gotten to know psychologists that work with victims of child sexual abuse. And actually, I contributed a chapter to a book on child sexual abuse and dissociation. And two of the therapists that I've talked to that have counseled Epstein victims, and one of them is an eminent psychologist, she's very famous in this field, they believe that their clients were under 10 years old when they were trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. And you've got psychopaths out there that want, although Jeffrey Epstein liked pubescent girls, you've got psychopaths out there that like kids under 10. I mean, it's, and there is psychopaths out there that like to beat up little girls. I mean, these guys are very sick, and a lot of them are, you know, running the world, which is very troubling. And the media has been very, very, the media has just been asleep at the wheel covering this. And the media seems to have settled on 14 being the youngest age, which is still unbelievably bad. But
so
if you dig, they're younger than 12.
Schon wieder Bewerberflaute? Sie schalten Anzeige um Anzeige. Das nervt und ist doch viel zu teuer. Stopp! Raus aus der Recruiting-Spirale. Mit StepStone All Jobs bekommen Sie alle Anzeigen für ein Jahr in einem Paket zu einem fixen Preis. So sparen Sie bis zu 75% Kosten pro Bewerbung und sind jederzeit flexibel. Jetzt Termin vereinbaren auf stepstone.de/alljobs. StepStone. Einfach die richtigen Talente finden für alle Jobs.
Mit Mastercard Business Bonus sichern Sie sich attraktive Rabatte auf Tools und Services für Ihr Unternehmen. Alle Angebote unter mastercard.com/businessbonus.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
So, do we need to make a distinction between his black book, Epstein's black book, and a client list? I mean, I'm sure there's some crossover, but there, for example, our prime minister in Canada, Mark Carney, I believe his wife and her family, some members of her family, and their numbers are listed in that black book. I mean, how do we separate a client list from the names in the black book?
Epstein didn't have a client list like it was the Jeffrey Epstein travel agency. And it wasn't like he didn't have a magnet on a list, you know, on his refrigerator. The vast majority of the perps are in that black book. The black book that I put online has a lot of names. A lot of them aren't child abusers, but then a lot of them are. And Alfredo Rodriguez, Jeffrey Epstein's house manager, he circled people that he thought were in collusion with Epstein as far as child trafficking. And there's a number of names of very rich and powerful people that he circled. And I think that between victim testimony and Alfredo Rodriguez, we can get a pretty good idea of just how powerful these people were. And the perpetrators named by Virginia Giuffre, and also the names that were circled in the black book are Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, Les Wexner, Bill Richardson, who was the former governor of New Mexico, and then he was Clinton's energy czar, Ehud Barak, who, according to Virginia Giuffre, isn't a very nice guy. He was the former prime minister of Israel. Alan Dershowitz was circled and also named by Virginia Giuffre and Jean-Luc Brunel. So that kind of gives you, Jean-Luc Brunel was a big modeling agent. And
yeah. Who also died under similar circumstances, yes, as Jeffrey Epstein, by hanging in a prison cell.
He and Epstein ran a modeling agency together. And it was called MC Squared. And he is the guy that would get these girls from Eastern Europe and fly them in. And according to Virginia Giuffre, he had something worked out where he was able to get them passports. He had something worked out with the government where he was able to get. So this goes to the highest level. And when the U.S. Attorney Alexander Acosta was told to stand down, that went to the Attorney General and the President. And then you had Obama covering it up. And then you had Trump covering it up, and then you had Biden covering it up. And now we have Trump trying to put the death knell into any speculation about whether or not Jeffrey Epstein was trafficking children to the rich and the powerful. And this is what's troubling. There's so many things that are troubling. The New York Times in 2019 reported that the feds had sawed or drilled Epstein's safe open. Now, his safe wasn't like a safe that you think of when you think of safes. I mean, his safe was the size of a closet. And according to the New York Times, there were disks, and those disks contain hundreds, if not thousands, of images of child abuse material. And Business Insider reported that there were actually hard drives taken out too. And now here's where we get into these really, really blatant lies. So that safe was drilled the day after Jeffrey Epstein died. And the FBI was looking at that stuff, or whatever malignant corner of intelligence that deploys people like Jeffrey Epstein. They were looking at that stuff that day or the next day. I mean, they were, and we're supposed to believe Pam Bondi that material has only been looked at now. It's the feds have had it for 6 years and it's only being looked at now. I mean, that's really bad. That's such a disingenuous lie. And the strange document that came out yesterday where it said that Epstein wasn't in collusion with anybody else and he wasn't pandering children. It said 1,000 victims, that they had found over 1,000 victims. And here's the problem. I mean, they knew about those victims in 2019 because they had all that footage. They didn't. I would bet my right arm that the feds didn't go to any of those victims and try to help them. They just wanted to bury it.
And so presumably with all of these videos, these horrible graphic videos of 1,000 victims perhaps being abused, we must see the faces, identities of I hate to use the word client, but we're talking about a client list. I mean, who are these criminals engaging, these perverts, monsters engaging in these activities, horrible activities with these young girls? Their faces must be visible, I'm assuming. I mean, why go to the trouble of videotaping and documenting all this if the perps aren't to be identified?
Well, according to the U.S. government, there weren't any perps. It was just, I guess, these girls abusing themselves. The whole thing just falls apart if you apply rudimentary logic to it. And with Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, the footage that they gave us that proved Epstein didn't kill himself, I mean, that's a bunch of malarkey, too.
How dumb do they think they are?
I mean, that's the problem, is they must think that we're really stupid. Now, I do believe that Americans have been conditioned to think that they can't make any, that they have no power. I do believe that our leaders believe that Americans have been conditioned that way, and they're alienated. And I think a lot of Americans are conditioned, but I'm hoping that this is an issue that can wake people up. And I think the way that the things are in the United States with the extreme polarization between the right and the left, I think that this is the one issue that can bring the right and the left together.
Just getting back to the video for a moment, there is a, if you review the video, you'll see there's a missing minute in the timestamp. I mean,
yes.
If you have a whatever they call them, a wet team or whatever you want to call them, a minute I would imagine would be sufficient to walk into that cell, do what needed to be done, right?
The cover-up is so ridiculous on every level, whether it be Epstein suicide or these girls weren't pandered out and there are no other criminals in Jeffrey Epstein. In 2019, that the New York Times named 6 Jeffrey Epstein pimps. And one of them was Ghislaine Maxwell. The other one was, there were Sarah Kellen, Nadia Marcinkova, Leslie Groff, and Haley Robson. And they were pimps. They were actually getting girls and then pandering girls. I think Robson was more getting kids from the high school that she went to. But who are these pimps pandering to? Maxwell was, she was indicted on a couple of conspiracies. who were the co-conspirators? I mean, that's how egregious this is. This cover-up is really disingenuous, and it takes us as being morons to cover this up.
So going back to Acosta, who at the time was the district attorney for this DA for this or
attorney U.S.
General,
attorney.
Attorney general for or yeah U.S. attorney for the Southern District in Florida, who said that he was told from higher up that Epstein is an intelligence asset, hands off, it's above your pay grade. So let's operate under that assumption that this was a honey trap operation. He was an intelligence asset. Which alphabet agencies are we talking about here?
I think that there is a dark, malignant corner of our intelligence. And it might be, I'm sure it has some FBI people, some DOJ people. It's not like this is the child molestation wing of the CIA, but it's a very dark part of our machinery, our intelligence machinery. And I wrote a book called The Franklin Scandal. And in many ways, it was a carbon copy. Epstein was a carbon copy of the Franklin Scandal. And that was going on in the 80s. And I can remember I was pitching the Franklin Scandal in 2002, 2003, was getting into it, and publishers had a number of reactions, but one of the reactions was this couldn't possibly be going on still. And I would say where there's a demand, there's a supply. And no one paid for this. According to the Franklin scandal, there were no victims. And there was a girl that refused to recant her accounts of being abused by a police chief and a judge and some others. And she was given nine to 15 years for perjury and spent the authorities really tried to destroy her. And she spent 2 years in solitary. She is the associate director of a 501c3 I started that we're vying to get justice for the Epstein victims. Her name is Alicia Owen.
Epstein justice. That's
because we cannot have a country. If you cover up a crime, you're aiding and abetting that crime. So in the very least, our government is aiding and abetting child trafficking with this cover up. And think about it. Would you trust anybody who's aiding and abetting child trafficking?
No, these are absolute monsters. They're absolute monsters.
Of course. And so there's absolute monsters in our government. And people like Bondi and Patel and Bongino, they've been told what the party line's going to be, and they're just trumpeting it, even though they were billed as straight shooters before they got into positions of power.
Yeah, let's explore that a little bit. I mean, what happens? I mean, I'm a fan of what Donald Trump is doing in the United States in terms of, you know, immigration and the economics and so forth. But he, you know, we were told by some of the victims' lawyers that Donald Trump was very cooperative, that he was one of the few that actually took the time to tell them everything he knew about Epstein and his dealings with him at Mar-a-Lago and so forth. Dan Bongino, very different on his radio program and podcast than he is as assistant director of the FBI. Kash Patel, again, talking about, you know, we've got the documents, we've got everything we need, heads are going to roll, people will be locked away, talking a very different game. What happened to Donald Trump, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi? Are they sat down by somebody and told, this is the line you will not cross, or you and your family will be in our crosshairs? What happens to these people once they come into power?
There's one of two things. Either they're compromised or they're threatened and their families are threatened. It's one of those two things. And I've been looking at political blackmail for 23 years. And you can see people that are compromised, how it helps their career. Dennis Hastert was the Speaker of the House for 7 years. And he had been a pederast going back 40 years, 50 years when he was teaching, he was a wrestling coach at a high school. So he had this dark secret that he had molested underage boys. And the FBI actually knew about that. According to Sibel Edmonds, who was a whistleblower, she worked for the FBI. The FBI knew about Dennis Hastert. And Dennis Hastert, his rise was meteoric. And I believe his rise was meteoric because he was compromised.
What about Donald Trump? Is he compromised, or is this part of a, I don't know, make a deal here, you get this in return, you have to sort of weigh things. Well, do we risk this part of the agenda by exposing this? I mean, what's going on there, do you think?
I have no idea. He is circled. Alfredo Rodriguez did circle him in Epstein's Black Book. I haven't found corroboration that he molested underage girls, but he and Epstein were close. And I believe that, I mean, Epstein was providing women to Clinton when Clinton was in the White House, and they weren't underage, but they were young. And according to the documents that were released about a year and a half ago, Trump partook of some of the women, or one of the women that Epstein pandered. So you've got two U.S. presidents that are enmeshed with Jeffrey Epstein, who is a horrific monster.
What about Mossad? Because Ghislaine Maxwell, her father, Robert Maxwell, supposedly involved with Mossad, he ended up dying under somewhat mysterious circumstances as well, on a boat. I mean, that's the elephant in the room. Everyone wants to know, is Mossad involved in this?
Well, Ehud Barak, who was the former prime minister of Israel, was definitely involved. I believe that he was definitely involved with Epstein. And his, as I said earlier, his name is circled in the black book. Here's my thoughts about that. People have approached me on numerous occasions and said, was Jeffrey Epstein Mossad? And Jeffrey Epstein very well may have been working with the Mossad. But my take on this, or my conclusion on this, or surmise, depending upon, I believe that there's no way the CIA is going to let the Mossad compromise American politicians on American soil and not get a cut of that intelligence. That is my belief on that. So he very well might have been working with the Mossad, but this is the American intelligence is part. And the fact that we've had the cover up of Epstein emanate from the highest levels of our government shows that I believe that the CIA was involved also.
You mentioned the Franklin scandal, which you wrote about. I mean, how does the Epstein case connect to the Franklin scandal? I mean, is this just a continuation of the same elite network or something even deeper?
Well, I think that there's multiple networks that are protected. And in the case of the Franklin scandal, you had Nebraska state senators that formed a committee and they would not back down. And their investigator, after he got some very crucial evidence, his plane blew up in midair, but they still wouldn't back down. And then the feds came in and the state came in with bogus grand juries, like with Epstein, that type of bogus grand jury. So no one really, I mean, one of the pimps committed suicide, and I do believe that he committed suicide. I think he was told that, you know, either you kill yourself or we will kill you. And then the other one kept his mouth shut, and he did about 10 years for embezzling $40 million from a credit union. And it's somewhat analogous to Epstein and Maxwell. Epstein ostensibly killed himself, and I think that he would have had a hard time keeping his mouth shut. He was used to the high life. And I do believe that there was a lot of incriminating things in his safe, whereas Maxwell kept her mouth shut, and she's been taken care of. She's already in a dormitory. She was almost in, very quickly, she was put into a dormitory. And usually prisoners that have been exemplary, that are nearing the end of their sentence, are put into dormitories. So I think the deal with her was, you got to keep your mouth shut and do some cush time, but you can keep all the money. And I think that, and with the Franklin scandal, Lawrence King, when he got out, he had a no-show job at a BMW dealership in Alexandria, Virginia. And he has tried to inveigle himself into four groups that would give him access to children. The first one was Granville Academy, and I looked into Granville Academy, and it's not even a school. It just takes lower socioeconomic children on field trips. And I thought, that's a bad idea. And I got him kicked out of I got him kicked off of the Granville Academy board. And then he stuck his head up with the Washington Redskins event committee. And then I got him kicked out of that. And then he stuck his head up again with Opera Nova, which teaches lower socioeconomic, among other things, it teaches lower socioeconomic children to sing. And then I got him kicked out of that. And now he's with a church in Reston, Virginia, and they've been reluctant to kick him out, which really impugns the credibility of that church. But here's what's tragic about that situation. There are people in the federal government that know that this guy is a super predator. When it comes to kids, he's a great white shark. And they know exactly what he's about. And it's the journalist who has to keep him away from children. I mean, that shows you how inverted these pedophile networks are at the higher levels.
There seems to be this pattern as well of someone being identified, in this case, Jeffrey Epstein, by somebody in power, and then like pulled up through the ranks. Epstein, you know, has a high school degree, not a mathematical genius by any stretch. I think he dropped out of NYU's math program, but then he seems to be handpicked by, Donald Barr, the father of Attorney General Barr?
Yes. When he was running Dalton, he was the headmaster of Dalton School.
Yeah. All of a sudden now you've got this high school graduate and he was teaching, mathematics?
Math and science.
He gets into trouble, again, inappropriate behavior with young girls. And all of a sudden he's plucked from there and he ends up at Bear Stearns? Bear Stearns.
Now, the intermediary step there was Stephen Hoffenberg, who pulled off the largest Ponzi scheme in the United States. It was before Bernie Madoff. Mm-hmm. And I met with Hoffenberg a couple of times. And Hoffenberg was used to the high life, and he did 18 years in a federal prison. And I think he came out very psychologically damaged. But he never incriminated Epstein. I was looking for Epstein incrimination when I interviewed him. And it's since come out that he has incriminated Epstein. So I don't know how to explain that. But then he was fired from Bear Stearns. So, and then his career just took off when Les Wexner gave him power of attorney.
Yeah, Victoria's Secret.
Over his billions. And a lot of people, and like Leon Black, he's been implicated in Epstein. He's also been outed as a pedophile. He gave Epstein... Now, this is Vanity Fair. This is what Vanity Fair said. Vanity Fair said that Les Wexner gave Jeffrey Epstein power of attorney over his billions because he was lonely. I mean, now, and here's another one that I kind of like, too. Leon Black ran Apollo, which was a huge hedge fund. He's a billionaire. And he gave Jeffrey Epstein $160 million. And the reason why Leon Black gave Jeffrey Epstein $160 million is Epstein was helping him with his taxes. I mean, this guy probably has two floors of accountants to make sure that he pays a minimal amount of taxes. The mainstream media and reporting all this has just been so disingenuous. Our mainstream media has colluded with the government at every step to make sure that this is covered up.
Is that fear? Is it ignorance? Or is it something more deliberate on the part of the mainstream media? Are they also compromised?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you've got six corporations that are responsible for 90% of the media that Americans imbibe. And because of that consolidation, and those corporations could be broken up with the Sherman Antitrust Act tomorrow if the government really wanted to. So I think that there's some kind of collusion between the government and the media to keep some things out of the media. The reason why Jeffrey Epstein was taken down was, and this was true with Craig Spence and Lawrence King and the Franklin scandal, is they were starting to get a lot of media. And Epstein was starting to get a lot of media. And blackmailers, once they start getting a lot of media, they're completely ineffective because people know what they're about. We're watching the same thing go on with Diddy.
I was going to ask you about that because you've investigated his role in a broader exploitation network. I mean, how does he fit into the web of power and abuse? And is that in large measure why he walked on the most serious charges in his recent trial?
Never, I think, in the annals of American jurisprudence have federal prosecutors worked so hard to throw a case. I mean, Epstein, they had him dead to rights. Now, there's a couple of people that played roles in both Epstein and Diddy. And you see this when, like, William Barr was the attorney general that covered up the Franklin Network, and he was also the attorney general under Donald Trump that covered up the Epstein Network and Trump's last term. With Epstein and Diddy, there was a U.S. attorney named Damian Williams, and he oversaw the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, and that trial was very carefully choreographed. Only four victims were called, and those victims had only been molested by Epstein and Maxwell. So they didn't know about the larger network. And that trial was, as I said, carefully choreographed, an absolute joke. But Williams also oversaw the grand jury that indicted Diddy. And at that point, Diddy was getting a lot of media. And there had been five sexual assault lawsuits filed against Diddy at the time that he was indicted. And two of those lawsuits had been filed by women who were minors when they were molested by Diddy. And one of them, Little Rod, was a producer, and he said that Diddy was trafficking underage girls and boys, and that he wasn't really down with it. And he told Diddy that he wasn't down with it, and Diddy threatened his life. So that was completely suppressed by the media, that there were minors getting molested by Diddy. And I also believe that Diddy was a blackmail operation too.
Getting back to Epstein and his demise, do you believe he was murdered? And if so, who had the most to gain from his silence?
I don't like to really speculate about his death. I mean, there were many anomalies that night. And then the footage that the FBI just released is a joke. But I think Epstein was arrested, and if he was murdered, I think that the feds were covering up two things. They were covering up a lot of guys that had molested children that were compromised. But then I also think that they were covering up a system that's predicated on blackmail. And there was a Tennessee federal legislator in the House of Representatives who came out, his name is Tim Burchett. He came out a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago and said that my colleagues are being compromised in honey traps. And the reason why we don't hear about that, we just hear about the KGB doing it. But the CIA has been using honey traps forever.
As founder of Epstein Justice, what have the survivors shared that the public isn't hearing?
One of the things that the media has really, really let the survivors down is, and people don't understand this, human traffickers are vicious, vicious people. They're vicious people. And regardless if they've got a mansion on the east side of New York or they're living in a trailer park on the outskirts of Tallahassee, they are vicious people. And Epstein and Maxwell were vicious to these girls. And some of the the guys that they pandered these girls to were vicious to them too. And that's something that the media just really hasn't exposed, is the utter viciousness of Epstein and Maxwell, and then some of their, for lack of a better word, Johns.
The Department of Justice, the Department of Justice memo, again, claims Epstein's death was suicide, backed by video evidence. I know we've touched on this earlier, but do you trust this footage? Do you think it was manipulated?
If our government is going to say that Jeffrey Epstein didn't pander a single child, I mean, how can we believe anything that our government is saying about Jeffrey Epstein? Our government is aiding and abetting child trafficking. There's a dark, malignant corner of our intelligence that's aiding and abetting child trafficking. How can we possibly, and it's been covered up. It was covered up. I mean, Bush was told Epstein was intelligence standout. It's been covered up by every other president, two Republican administrations, two Democratic administrations. How can we believe anything that is said by the Department of Justice or FBI? And you'll notice in that document, no one signed it. No one, there was the logos of the Department of Justice and the FBI. No one was gonna take the fall for signing that document, because that document is pure bullshit.
Is it reasonable to suspect that the reason the client list has not been revealed, that the clients, so-called, have not been prosecuted, is that they are still useful to the intelligence agencies? They are still blackmailable. They're still extracting whatever information the intelligence agencies want from these monsters. That's the reason they're not prosecuting them. Is that a reasonable supposition?
You said still blackmailable, and actually they are being blackmailed. You know, as you and I speak, there are people in the U.S. government, federal government, that are compromised. That's politics as usual. I wrote a book called Confessions of a DC Man, The Politics of Sex, Lies, and Blackmail. And I wrote it with a guy who ran the largest escort service in gay escort service that's ever been uncovered in Washington, D.C. And CIA assets were using his escorts to blackmail guys that were closeted. And I'll give you he was providing escorts to Larry Craig, who was a senator. Larry Craig had been in office in Washington, D.C. for about 25 years, first as a representative and then as a senator. And Henry was providing him with escorts, and then he was getting escorts from other sources. And he was ultimately busted in the Minneapolis airport trying to pick up a vice squad cop. I mean, here's a guy that's been in Washington, D.C. for 25 years, and he's a U.S. senator, and he's trying to pick up a vice squad cop in a bathroom. How hard would it be to blackmail that guy? I mean, a kid doing an extracurricular homework with a smartphone to blackmail that guy.
So earlier in the discussion, you said you're hopeful perhaps, that this issue, the Epstein case, maybe the one thing that the left and the right can come together on. So where do you think it will go, or could go, or should go from here? I mean, is it possible to impanel a citizens grand jury? Is it possible that this could be a citizens initiative to finally get at the truth?
Well, it's going to have to. This Americans are going to have to come together on this. But what we need, and I think that we can get it. I might be deluded on this, but I think that we can get it. We can have an independent congressional commission investigate this if we put enough heat on our representatives and our senators. We're going to require a majority in the Senate and also in the House of Representatives to form a congressional commission. And congressional commissions or congressional hearings have, when we think of commission, we think of presidential commissions like the Kennedy Commission and maybe the 9/11 Commission, which have been heavily flawed. But we've seen congressional commissions actually without the church hearings, the Frank Church hearings. Mm-hmm. He was a senator. We wouldn't know about MK Ultra. We wouldn't know about Operation Chaos. We wouldn't know about COINTELPRO. I mean, there's a lot of things that came out during those hearings. So I'm hoping that Americans on the left and right can come together on this, and we can get some real traction with Epstein Justice. We cannot. Our government is a sewer, and it's time that we clean it up.
How can we find out more about Epstein Justice and support it?
Your listeners and viewers can go to EpsteinJustice.com, and we can walk you through how you can be helpful. We also need donations. That's very important. And we've been on our budget has been on a shoestring, but we're still standing strong. So your listeners and viewers can go to EpsteinJustice.com, and you will be given a lot of information on how you can be part of the solution.
And the Nick Bryant podcast, how do we listen?
The Nick Bryant actually, I folded the Nick Bryant podcast because I was doing Epstein Justice and the Nick Bryant podcast simultaneously, and I couldn't do them both. So I had to give one of them up, and I gave up the podcast because Epstein Justice is very close to my heart.
All right. And finally, the Franklin Scandal and Confessions of a DC Madman. How do we get DC Madam? How do we get those books?
You can go to any place where books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I think the Franklin Scandal, if people really want to learn about how dirty this is, they can read the Franklin Scandal. If someone can get to the other end of the Franklin Scandal, now it's a big book and I researched it for 7 years, but people that get to the other side of the Franklin Scandal, it changes how they see the government, how they see the world.
Nick, you're a treasure. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Richard Serrett Show. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and leave a comment. It helps spread the word. I'll be back again to speak with you real soon. In the meantime, I remain unbowed, unbent, unbroken.